Logic PC Gaming Podcast back once again here with Flopsy, Ender's Logic, and Robert Digital.
Hey, how's it going?
Here we go. All right, so
that was terrible, Chad.
Sorry, I'm working on it.
if he sounded like a goofy white guy, folks, that's because he is.
That's what I am.
That's what's going on. We said last week that we were going to get into Dota 2 this week, but it's a hefty fucking game. There's a lot to it. You just look around at the screen. If you just took a screenshot and you're looking around at how much information there is to ascertain from, you got, as far as numbers alone, just numbers on the screen at once, it's like 50.
Yeah.
And then you have what your character's doing. And then you have trying to control the screen, it wasn't intuitive for me.
Yeah,
it's like a deep game.
It feels like an RTS. It's been a while since I played an RTS game, but it's very similar to that. I think you can buy, like, they've got an upgrades tab and then, like, a basic tab for your items. And I think on the upgrade tab, there's, like, 90 items. And on the basic, there's, like, I don't know, 70 or 60 or something. It's just, there's a lot to the game.
It's daunting, for sure.
Yeah.
And the itemization is probably the most confusing part for me.
Oh, yeah.
The introduction to a new player, I think, is at this point much better in Smite. I think maybe Smite's a much easier game.
I think the WASD controls that are in there, as opposed to the point and click controls that are in
for sure. They're intuitive.
Mobile. Yeah.
Well, a PC gamer.
For a PC gamer, I think, like, okay, you've played first and third person games. Okay, I know how to play this, and I think the point and click, but then again, some people grew up on the RTS genre, and if you come from an RTS genre, this is like an RTS, just much simpler. The mini map is there; you're controlling units. It just happens to be one unit that you're controlling,
right?
You know,
for a lot of PC gamers, like RTS oriented people, it might be intuitive to play this game.
Okay.
In general, I'm not a RTS player. Actions per minute or whatever makes somebody good. Yeah, I fucking suck at that. As soon as I know that I need to do two other things that I'm not doing because I'm doing this thing, I panic and I don't do either one and I suck. But I'm talking about StarCraft there. In this, at least you're only taking care of one thing. There's a lot of micromanaging within that, but it's one unit.
But we picked characters that were a one unit character. You're not playing Shen or somebody else that requires you to use four or five characters simultaneously.
Fuck that, man. I can barely fucking do my one.
Quite a few heroes in this game as well.
Yeah.
A lot to pick from. I mean, I can kind of see where people would really get carried away with this. I think this is a game that just has so much content that it could take you weeks, months just to learn it, and then months, years to get good at it. So there's just a lot there to get into.
It's not easy to learn, difficult to master. It's hard to learn,
impossible to master. Yeah. Let me ask you a question, though. Did you feel like your experience from Smite lended you any experience, any skills in this game?
As far as the MOBA concept?
Yeah,
I mean, all the, you know, lane sustain, laning,
but even
when to gank.
Even for you, like, you were talking about how strong the creeps were and stuff. Like, I think...
Yeah, the creeps were way stronger.
Yeah, and the towers will, you know, two-shot you early on. You know?
I was almost thinking that the creeps should be stronger in Smite.
I agree. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Yeah. But more on this on next week, I guess, right?
Yeah, we're going to continue to play, and then we'll talk more about it on next week. It's so hard to tell when you first pick up a game and you play it. The game changes so much when you play more of it. I'm noticing this with Rust. Like, I listened to, like, our first podcast on that and my opinions on it, and they're very different now. It's like, it's a whole different game to me. And
Go on.
Well, I don't want to go into too much detail.
I'm intrigued, really.
But
what's the difference? Like, how has it changed?
Well, Rust, definitely more of a PvP game for me. It's definitely more, I'm getting to the point faster where I'm established, and then I'm ready to go out and
wreck some shit.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just a different game to me. And I think Dota will be too after a while. After you get used to it, you get better at it.
No, for sure. I mean, when you get a kill in Dota, or when I get a kill, which I only got like not many of,
yeah,
the delayed satisfaction because it took so long to get one. I was fucking jerking off. It was like, yes, God, fucking got a kill, you know.
But that's kind of the MOBA mentality. It's like you're playing a single player game a little bit because you're ricing, you're farming a little bit to try to get your guy up, and you're buying items. There's a single player elements, and then you can take that single player guy and try to do PvP. It's kind of got the...
I mean, MOBA's fucking awesome, and nobody disagrees with that.
Yeah.
This construct of MOBA. What I didn't understand is this is so complicated. I told you guys that night that, like, complicated doesn't equal fun.
True.
I have a theory. I was going to get into this next week, but my theory about this is, okay, so 7.1 million unique players this month, right? That's a shit ton of... Mm-hmm. And for a PC game, that is off the charts. It's so high up there. I'm thinking that the younger generation, I'm talking people 25 and younger.
The younger? I was thinking 15 and younger. You're talking 25 and younger?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
They're used to so much stimulus, and they grew up on the internet. It's all fast-paced, tons of information. They're processing it. Fucking regular games can't. It's too slow. You need tons of information, tons of things to think about, and they would be bored with anything that isn't hyper-complicated and has a lot to do. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree.
Yeah.
100%. I think I imagine the average MOBA player is probably 15 or 16 years old, like, I'm not saying that there's not like 30 plus plan and 8 years old, year old plan, but I think the MOBA target is looking right there.
Yeah.
But you look at League of Legends, and it's a very simplified, you know, format. The item builds are much simpler and everything like that. Same with Smite, like how they build items is very simple compared to like Dota.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, like, I think they're trying to figure out exactly how the MOBA scene is going to work. And so each ones are trying a little bit different a little bit differently. But I think you're right. Like, it is aimed towards that audience that wants all that information at them.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I think it's more of a matter of there being just so much content to actually work through. I mean, if you take some games, you can play them to completion. Maybe they've got some bonus modes or something, but really, you can't go too far with it. But a game like this, you can just keep playing and playing and playing. This is also, this is one of those games I put in a specific category, kind of with WoW and, you know, League of Legends, Dota 2. Like, it's just one of those games where people are very devoted to it. I don't even regard them as PC gamers necessarily. They're
not Dota players.
Yeah, they just play a game. The PC happens to be the platform that can facilitate this game. But that's the only reason they're playing on that platform. They just play
super
that
deep.
Game.
These and games are super deep.
Yeah. You could spend, like, wow, I probably spent about a year or two just playing that game. Nothing else. Because there's so much content.
And the reason I start playing Smite is for me to stay relevant.
I got you into Smite, didn't
I? Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Because I was trying to get you to play Heroes
MOBAs,
of New Earth.
Yeah.
I was trying to get you to play any MOBA.
I hated it.
Yeah, and you hated it. But then a third person...
Right.
Version came out that you really got into.
And I really got into it because, well, obviously, we all agree MOBA is the way things are headed. Just the platform is amazing. So many things can happen. But what really got me about Smite why I stopped playing it was for me to stay relevant in games, skill-wise, I needed to put in probably 4 hours a day or so to be at the level that we were playing at.
That's like...
Any
game, really, like a first-person shooter, if you want to play Counter-Strike or you want to play Battlefield or whatever, like, to be able to know all the intricacies, you got to play on a daily basis.
No, for sure, but you play Counter-Strike a lot, and you can go into pubs and just stomp if you're a seasoned player. In a MOBA, you never know what you're going to go up against. And when you're playing five-mans, you're going up against other five-mans. and you got to have your shit together.
Again, there's just so much in this game that not only do you have to learn how to play a hero, you have to learn how to play against a hero. Not only that hero, but the, 70 other heroes that are out there. You know, that's how it was with Smite when we were playing. You know, we had to learn how to play a god, and then we had to learn how to play against other gods and how to handle specific situations. And there are so many variables, so many different situations you can find yourself in, depending on the location, the god that you're against, what's on cooldown. You know, what can I use to counter this move of theirs? It's just endless.
I don't think one person could be extremely good at two MOBAs, just because so much of your hard drive space in your brain has to be devoted to learning what each god does, how they are hero, and how that interacts with what in this situation. You know, when you first start playing a MOBA, you get stomped, and then you're like, oh my god, that thing's OP. And then you play it, and you're like, well, oh, now I see the flaws.
Yeah.
So you have to play them all.
Well, it's like when a new god comes out. You know, everybody thinks they're OP, but we just really haven't figured out how to play against this god yet. A lot of times that's the case.
I think, like, MOBAs are similar to MMOs in that you pick the one that you like, and you ride it. You know, like, this is, okay, I'm a WoW player, or I'm a Guild Wars player, or, you know, I'm a Lineage player. And you ride that out because there's enough content or gameplay to exist for one person to sustain them for their whole gaming experience. You know, it's like you don't meet players that are playing WoW and Lineage. You may meet people that have dabbled in both, but they are WoW players, or they are Lineage players, or they are, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to say one's better than the other. I mean, I think it's fine if someone really gets into one specific game, but me personally, I go through phases as well that I mentioned before. Like, sometimes I really get into a game for a long period of time. You know, like 2 summers ago, I think I spent almost all summer playing Super Monday Night Combat. Like 3 or 4 summers ago, I spent all summer playing Left 4 Dead 2. So, you know, I've gone through phases too. But, you know, what I do have a problem with this game is, maybe I'll retract this later, but I don't think the, what am I thinking of here? You know, when the matchmaking system.
Pussy, tits, pussy, ass.
Close.
All of the above.
And matchmaking. But the matchmaking system seems weird. I think Smite just had such a good system that going back to anything else is just not as good of an experience. I feel like we had a lot of levers we were playing against.
There's a ton of levers.
It felt like an alpha, right? Like, the people left almost every game. We were playing against Smurfs the whole fucking time.
Yep.
Like, it just felt like we couldn't get a good matchmaking going. And granted, we had just come into the game. They don't know anything about us. They don't know our skill level or anything like that.
Right.
But it felt like, to me, like, the matchmaking system in general hasn't been implemented yet.
Yeah, and that's That is a huge part of a MOBA. I think that's what makes Smite so good, is they got a good matchmaking system, and the games typically seem fair, and you don't really have levers. For a MOBA game, a lever is rare in WoW.
Yeah, I think the most important thing in a MOBA is a fair match. Like, the fair match determines whether or not you have fun, because I don't want to stomp.
I don't want to stomp.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or get stomped.
Exactly. Like, a good MOBA requires you to have 5 equally skilled players on each side.
And what you're saying, like, it sounds simple, like, but could you imagine the algorithms and all the program that goes into fucking putting 5 people, like, what if only the people that are searching at that second are, you know, a 4-1, and you have a 5 team, you know? Do you put them together, or do you cancel them out?
That's like in Dota. We went up twice against that 5-man team, which stomped us both times because
they had strats.
Yeah, they had strats, and they were all 5 on the mic together, and we were the 3 of us and 2 other people.
Randos.
Two randoms, 2 pubs, and you know, we got stomped.
Well, with any game, the more people you have, the more balanced it is. The easier it is for there to be outliers, for there to be a really good person or a really bad person. A really good player and a really bad player are going to affect your team less if there are more players altogether. So when you're playing with only 5 people on your team, if one of them leaves or if one of them is really bad, or if they're really good, like, that makes a big difference in the game.
Would you guys rather have a lever or a terrible player, a feeder? A legit feeder.
I'd probably have a lever. I mean, granted, like, MOBAs,
At least you get more farm.
Yeah, you get more farm, and also your opponent doesn't get more farm because he's not killing your he's not killing one of your teams every 2 minutes.
You know? We're gonna have to name this one the MOBA podcast. We got into it today.
I've definitely seen WoW matches, or not WoW matches, but Smite matches where there's been one character who has just been a pain, and then he leaves, and then all of a sudden 4v5 we win. So yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
So well, we're going to talk about this more next week,
yeah,
too.
We'll get into it more. And even after 2 weeks, I don't know if we can really encompass all that Dota 2 is, but we might have a better idea.
And speaking of which, I wanted to get into why you should be listening to us, because we're fucking brilliant. No, what it is...
we know that's not true.
Bobby and I were talking, and the PC Gamer podcast had... I said this on the first episode, but a lot of you guys, believe it or not, this is growing every week, and it's awesome. Thank you, everybody. If you could subscribe, that'd be really cool, too. On iTunes, but Bobby and I were talking, and the PC Gamer podcast was on a hiatus for a while, 2 or 3 months, probably.
Yeah, it was a while.
Yeah, and you know, that was one of my favorite podcasts because it was only 30 minutes, and you could listen to it, get out, you know, and they have the insider information. And then, so there was kind of a vacuum as far as PC gaming, and me and Bobby don't talk PC gaming very much because we're always playing a game. If we have free time together, we're playing a game. But I don't have enough PC gaming conversation in my life. So what I said is, hey, you know, every once in a while we'd have a conversation after a game, maybe after a session. I'm like, well, fuck, we said some really smart things. Maybe we should record this. So we're not experts. We're not on the inside. There's no reason you should be listening to us. You need to be listening with us because we're having a conversation and all we want is for you to have more PC gaming conversation in your life. And if you object against something that we said, leave it a comment. We'll bring it up the next week So that's what our objective was with this whole thing. And I'm having a hell of a time and I thank everybody that's listening.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that was sweet.
Yeah, I almost cried.
Single tear. Yeah, but yeah, we're totally into viewer input. If anyone has any comments, questions, or suggestions, or hell, if you just want to play Rust or Monaco, someone has got to play Monaco with me. Like, I've been wanting to play that game, but cannot seem to wrangle up.
I played it for like 3 seconds, and I was like, this is the weirdest thing I ever...
Yeah, visually, it's hard to get over because you have to like kind of figure out what all the different objects are. But what have you guys been playing this week? Anything?
I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone. I know I keep bringing it up, but just this week, it really dawned on me the little intricacies that make it great. Chad came over, and I was talking to him about it. Okay, so if you haven't made a move in a while, your character will naturally speak up and say like, so many possibilities, you know, or something like that. And that just tells you, oh shit, I haven't moved. I should turn the turnover to the other person. Or maybe it is natural where you are thinking and it's telling the other person, hey, this guy's thinking. There's that. And then there's another thing where if you have no other possible moves, it goes, job's done, you know, job's done, or whatever it does. And so you know that, oh, okay, I should give it up to the other person at this point. Neither of these things are phenomenal or anything like that, but it moves it along. And the game keeps going, and there's these little things that like, oh yeah, oops, I forgot to push this. I am done with my turn. And just keeps it moving, and it always stays fresh because the game keeps moving on both ends. And if somebody like is taking too long after it said job's done for them, even though you don't know, they have no possible moves, I taunt the shit out of them. Like, come on. Wild will rise against you.
I rarely use the taunt feature on that.
If they're just sitting there after, okay, it's turn one, and they put down their 1-1 for one.
Yeah.
And they have no, and it just goes on and on, and the little string comes out, like your timer's
the
running
fuse,
out.
The fuse, whatever. Yeah.
I find that happens a lot when I play that game. I haven't played in a while, but I feel like I'm always waiting on the other person. Like, I've already got my turn mapped out. It's my turn. I play my cards. It happens. I end my turn, and then I'm always waiting on them.
That's weird because I've never had to wait for somebody. Like, everybody I ever play with, it moves
right
along.
On the ball.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I figure that Bobby stopped playing when right after that ass whooping I laid on him. Like, I don't think he won one game. I don't think.
I stopped playing a while before that. And you're like, let's play, and then you're all proud of yourself for beating up on me. Like, good for you, buddy. I came out of retirement. He calls me out of retirement for a fight. I'm like, all
right. But no, that game is amazing, right?
Like, I love it.
Well, I think what's nice about that game is that it's a card game that was made with the idea that this is going to be on the computer. This is going to be played on a computer. Exactly. It wasn't like a card game that already existed and was adapted to be on a computer. Like absolutely. A lot of other card games I played seem like that.
Yeah.
Like the Magic one and a few of the other ones. You can totally tell, like, this was a card game. They just adapted it for PC play.
And the arena is the most well thought out thing.
See, I still have issues with the arena.
Like what?
So you can get a legendary or a, what are the purple colors? Is that legendary?
Sure.
You can get a legendary. I got two legendaries
my last run.
Yeah. And they might have changed something because you could go and not get a legendary and you can go and get two legendaries.
It's still that way.
Okay, because that's not fair. There's no skill involved there. You either get it or you don't get it.
Legendaries are not game changers.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Like, I always hold my killed card.
First of all, let's explain huge. What is a legendary? Because I'm not even sure I know what you're talking
so
about.
So there's rarity on the cards.
Okay.
And the rarity generally...
So legendary is the highest
rarity. It equates to how good a card is. Yeah. So a legendary, picture the most power on a card.
So it's just like World of Warcraft, your legendary items.
Exactly. Best.
Okay.
All so right. if you played
what is highest?
If you played Magic or whatever, picture like a planeswalker.
What's highest in WoW? The color of item.
Legendary. I mean, yeah.
What color?
Orange.
They have orange.
Same thing. Exact same thing in Hearthstone. Orange is legendary.
No, there's no orange in Hearthstone right now. Purple is the highest right now.
Are you sure about this?
Yeah, I'm 100% sure.
See, wow, no. Purple was...
I'm 100% sure that legendaries are oranges. Orange.
Okay.
Let's punch each other in the face if somebody knocks me.
Let's do it. Okay, but whatever. So, you're in arena.
I got two oranges in my last run.
And you're up against somebody that had oranges and purples, and you never got anything more than a blue.
Right.
Then it doesn't matter what skill you had, you still got worse cards than that other person.
Okay, so from what I've seen from the legendaries, they're usually like 9/5s. And they have this crazy ability. But if you can kill it that turn, fuck, it didn't really do much, you know?
So my...
By the way, my favorite one is Leroy Jenkins. Not because it's so good, but just because, you know...
It's Leroy.
Yes,
yeah,
Leroy.
It's Leroy, yeah.
Leroy Jenkins! Yeah. And then... Have you seen this card?
No.
You've seen the Leroy Jenkins.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's the downside to... So you put him down, he's a 9-5...
6-2.
6-2 with charge.
6-2 with charge.
He's only like 4.
He's 4 with a 6-2 charge.
He spawns fucking dragonlings.
On your side.
For the other guy. Nice. That's the downside. So yeah. It was really well thought out.
Wow. No, the game is very well thought out. Just in general. Yeah. Like Blizzard did a phenomenal job. I don't know who designed all this and everything like that, but...
Smart motherfuckers.
Yeah, everybody that was involved with this game did a really good job with it.
Yep. Yeah, and again, I think this is another game that you could spend a lot of time playing because there's so many... I mean, you don't have too many classes, but you have so many possibilities of different situations that you could be in. You got to really know like how to build your deck and how to play against certain players.
Yeah. Another really well-thought-out thing is that since so many of the cards are communal within all the classes, there's less of a learning curve than with most, you know... Mm-hmm. In Magic, you got to learn every color and all the cards for every color, and it's fucking super daunting.
Yeah, Magic, like, there's the steep learning curve.
Much
like,
better game, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Magic, you and me, we both agree that it's the best game ever made.
Better than chess, better than anything.
Yeah.
Street Fighter, whatever. Magic is the greatest game ever created.
I agree with you, and I think a lot of the listeners would probably disagree with us, but I think.
Especially, like, you listen to this, like, what the fuck is Magic? Oh, let me go see it. It's so daunting, though, trying to get it. The learning curve is super high.
Which is like Dota, too. Like,
yeah.
Magic and Dota have that same...
What do you think has a higher player count? That's a tough one, huh?
Probably Dota.
Really?
Well, this day and age, I would imagine Dota would, but I don't know. Magic was huge, like...
Bobby, did you play Magic?
No, I played a Star Wars version of it called Star Wars CCG. And
of course, he plays some little known.
No, it was pretty big.
Magic, yeah, pretty big.
Meh.
No, I never really got into Magic, but yeah,
I raised you a tauntaun.
You know what I did like though was the the Pokemon.
You have any tauntauns? Go fish. This podcast has never reached nerdy levels to where we're where we're at right now.
So you never played Magic, but you played Star Wars.
Played the Star Wars one, and then my neighbor had the Pokemon one, which I kind of played a little bit, and that one was a lot more like Hearthstone, very simplistic, but still a lot of fun.
And Pokemon has like some secrets and stuff. It's very. I think there's a lot I've drawn on Hearthstone. A lot is drawn from Pokemon. From what I've never played Pokemon, but the secrets or and all that other stuff.
There's a lot of depth. I think most people don't play it without. This is what I've heard. People don't play it with the elements. Because it's so deep that it makes it less fun. But if you want to get into all those elements, there's a lot of depth there. But I think that's gone and Magic's still around. So funny thing about nerddom, you know, this is back in the day before Magic was online. I used to drive like 45 minutes to get to a place to play Magic with a bunch of other dudes.
Like a comic book store.
Yeah, and they would have tournaments and it was fun. And this is what we did. Anyway, before the internet, you fucks. Anyway, so we're playing, and then slowly but surely, these Pokemon kids started playing and taking up our table space. Yeah, we were fucking nerd snobs. Like, what the fuck are these? The Pokemon?
Magic's the way to go. Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'll pick some Pokemon? It was pretty bad, guys. It was pretty good. We didn't like those kids around us. Mm. And at the same time, Beanie Babies came out at the same time. And we were making fun of
them. God, you're aging yourself.
You're going to start playing some Beanie Babies now too? Huh?
Oh, wow.
We're upset.
How about you, Bobby? You've been playing...
Broken Age came out.
Broken Age, yeah. So, tell us about that.
Yeah, that game was good.
It was good? You already finished it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
One sitting or two?
One. This is a game you totally play in one sitting. You know, you've heard that they've given you the option to switch back and forth between the two characters that you play as, but there's absolutely no reason to. I don't know why anybody would, because you get kind of caught up in the story that you're playing, and then you end up just finishing that. I mean, you're looking at 2 hours per person, so it's like, why would you even...
Do you think there was a benefit to playing one first over the other, story-wise? No spoilers, by the way.
No, not really. I mean, I don't think it's... I mean, I'd recommend it doing it just because you don't really want to stop the story when you're in the middle of it and then just go to a completely different story. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And it's only 2 hours
long. Are they intertwined, though?
Yeah, well, I don't want to spoil too much. But, yeah.
He has a huge smile on his face.
Yeah, now I kind of want to play it.
You know, that's kind of what surprised me about this game was I didn't think it would really tie in to each other the way it did. But yeah, it totally does. I mean, first of all, the artistic direction on this game is great. Great voice acting, great, you know, appropriate soundtrack, great kind of like a painted pastel look to it. Looks great. A lot of people said the puzzles were too easy, which, yeah, they were fairly simple, but I think that's okay as long as the story is good. And I like how everyone's criticizing this, saying the puzzles are too easy. I'm like, wait a minute, dude. Walking Dead got Game of the Year, and that wasn't even a game. I mean, that was basically just like click here, click there, pick this up.
I mean, actually, I got stuck. I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe because of a bug or something. But you know what, though? Like, on the opposite end of this, I mean, you got Walking Dead that's totally just like easy but great story. And that's okay. It can be simple puzzles as long as you have a really good story. On the other end of this, I'd say is Violet, where there's hardly any story at all. I mean, there's a little bit of one, but like, there's maybe like 3 cutscenes in the entire game, and they're like 5 seconds long. So that game is way more on the puzzle end. And if you're into that, then yeah, play Violet.
You do get a small little endorphin rush. I mean, tiny one. When you solve a puzzle.
Yeah.
Especially the longer it takes. As long as it's game-breaking where you're like, takes you out of the game. Like, this is way too hard or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, if a puzzle is too difficult, it'll definitely take you out of the game. And you start thinking more about the game design rather than the story.
Yeah.
So you start thinking, like, what the hell were the developers thinking?
Yeah, and if it doesn't make sense, it really takes you out and makes you dislike the game.
And if it gets even worse, then I start thinking, dude, I think this is a bug, which actually happened in Violet. Like, I was stuck on this thing for, like, 10, 15 minutes. And then I was like, all right, I'm just going to I'm just going to check. I go on Google. I type in like cork bug violet or something like that because it was a puzzle with corks. And sure enough, there was a bug in the game. And I had spent 15 minutes like,
oh, wow.
Just doing absolutely nothing useful. So
God, that's rough.
Yeah, it sucked. I was able to save that game, fortunately, go back to a previous save and reload it. Yeah.
So ultimately, at the end of the day, how good is this game? Was it worth the hype? There was a ton of hype behind this.
I feel like there's a ton of promotion behind this. I think they were like
the whole Kickstarter.
It was all over Steam.
Oh yeah, it was all over Steam. And Tim Schafer and Ron Gilbert were like everywhere, just like plugging this thing. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it was good. It definitely sets you up for the next act. And like
you already paid for, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah,
it's a pre-order. Remember?
Yeah. I wanted to make sure that we remember.
I'm invested in the story. Like, I really want to see where they go with it.
That's cool.
I would have liked it to be a little bit longer, maybe. Maybe not too much longer.
How long did it take you? Get through both characters.
He said 2 hours each, right? Well,
Four and a half hours, I think, is my total play time on this game.
Do you have any bed sores? That's a long time for one sitting. Who am I kidding?
Not for me.
Yeah.
On my days off, I do like 8 or 9 hours.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
I always make fun of my other friends that have, like, these other hobbies where they have to, like, invest tons of money and go places and prepare and like you know, like fucking
like dirt bike riding.
Dirt bike riding, yeah. And you fuck yourself up.
Yeah.
My hobby is both my hobbies is 3 feet from my bed. Like, I could literally have no legs and get to my hobby just fine and have a great time.
So
we're the best hobby in the world.
You
in
paid
my opinion.
What, $25 for this? For this game, right?
Well, $22.50 on sale, but yeah, retail. You're talking about. Are you
happy? Act one is done. You played 4.5 hours. Do you feel like you got your money's worth?
I don't know. You know how it is, where you can go to like Jack in the Box and you can get a cheeseburger for $1, or you can go to you know, any of these fancy restaurants downtown and pay like $20 for this little thin wafer platter thing. You know what I'm talking about. When you go out to eat.
I'd rather go to the expensive place.
I'd rather get Jack in the Box.
If I'm trying to impress a lady, yeah, sure. You know, we'll go to the fancy place. But, well, actually, no, I don't eat Jack in the Box. But I would totally rather just go get a burrito. Like, I don't know where I'm going with this analogy. But I don't know. It's hard for me to really say, like, oh, this is worth $25 or this is not worth $25. Because what if, like, you make a ton of money, or what if you don't make a lot of money?
Were you happy at the end of your four and a half hours?
Well, I only paid half the game. So it's hard to say, right?
But that's $12.50 or whatever. Do you feel like $12.50, did you feel like that was $12.50 worth? $12.50.
Settle down.
Sorry.
It's only
$12. $12 is a lot of people, a lot of money to some people.
Yeah. Have you guys ever bought a beer at the airport?
Okay.
Exactly.
So that's a no then.
Yeah. You know what? I did feel like it was a little on the expensive side, just slightly, just because there wasn't that much content. But I will play this game again. Before the second act comes out, I'll probably play this game again.
Really?
Yeah, probably with my girlfriend. This is totally a game I can play with her.
Point and clicks.
And even though I've solved the puzzles, like, I'll give it some time so it's not fresh on my brain, but I'll let her do it, and I would enjoy the experience. And they're actually going through it again. I'd probably pick up more from the story than the first time around, because at the end, like, something happens, and you're just like, it's one of those moments where you're like, oh, and then you kind of want to go back and do it again. So you're like, oh, I see now. Yeah. It was connected.
Did you rush? Do you rush, let me get through the story as fast as possible?
No. I never do. With point-and-click adventures, like, I'm very thorough. And especially with this game, like, I was very thorough. I always check everything.
Yeah. Fucking completionist. I'm a completionist, too, in games, in life. Couldn't be further from the truth. Like, I might pick up a sock and say, I clean my room, you know? Like, it ends there.
Yeah, but I think it was a good experience. Yeah, I guess other than Broken Age, there was one other game that I've been playing, and oh God,
yeah, all right.
Octodad, Dadliest Catch. Yes.
It's Dadliest Catch. I thought it was Deadliest. Though every time you said it to me,
no,
that's even better.
But wait, is that So Octodad came out like years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this is a new version. What's Dadliest Catch?
This is like basically a, I guess like a sequel or a refined version of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's awesome. That's an awesome name. It's a new name to me. I just awesome realized name. It's Dadliest Catch.
And you've got to hear this, the theme song. The theme song is called Nobody Suspects a Thing. And it's kind of got this like Beach Boys kind of riff to it. It's hilarious, dude. This game is hilarious. If you don't know, you play an octopus who's pretending to be a human and he has like a family. And it's just him trying to like get through everyday life, you know, pretending to be a human. And so the controls are really... like,
do you look like an octopus, though?
Yes. It's totally obvious you're an octopus. And you've got, like, the three-piece suit.
You got a suit on, but your tentacles
hanging
out.
Have you not seen this game?
No, I've never seen it.
I'll show you some of it after this, but it is hilarious, dude. And, of course, it's part of this new genre, I guess, coming up. It actually has a name, Fumblecore. At least from
Fumblecore? I've never heard this.
Me neither until I looked it up. But you know Surgeon Simulator, right?
Okay, like
very awkward controls. The difficulty in the game is learning the controls. Which is great because even as an
A finger is a limb, correct? In both of them? A finger is a finger in Surgeon Simulator, right?
Well, in Surgeon Simulator, you have to put your fingers on A, S, D, R, and F, I think. Or no, A, W, E, R, F. And those are your fingers. When you press one of those down, it's a...
okay.
Yeah.
It's and an Octodad was each one a different...
No, your left click and your right click control the legs, and then when you hit the space bar, it switches to control the arms. So,
oh, wow. Geez.
Yeah, so it's incredibly awkward controls, which I think is kind of makes sense because you're an octopus on land, right. So it makes sense that it would be difficult controlling yourself. So basically, you're walking around like a supermarket just knocking shit over, and here's the thing. The way you lose is
sounds
if,
so awesome.
Yeah.
The way you lose is if you draw too much attention to yourself by knocking things over and running into people, then people find out you're an octopus. You know? And like as you do this, as you knock shit over, like people start making comments and like, wait, what's going on with that guy? You know? And then like eventually they figure out you're an octopus and then game over, you have to start it over again. And
that's how I felt like that every time I was on mushrooms in public. Like I gotta not knock over things.
Just don't move.
Yeah, they're gonna totally figure out.
Less high
guy,
than I.
Hey, what's going on with this guy? Is he an octopus or maybe he might be on mushrooms?
Did you didn't beat it though, right?
I beat it.
Oh, you. Holy shit.
Well, again.
You play a lot. Holy shit.
No, I do. He doesn't play WoW.
Oh, yeah, that's my bad.
See, I don't play WoW. I don't play Dota 2, and I don't play Hearthstone.
How many,
so I've got a lot of time.
How many hours did you dump into WoW this week?
Probably 30 hours.
Okay, now guys, so now that I'm playing Hearthstone, I can see when Chad logs in and logs out of WoW. And guess where he is when he's not at home? He's at work playing WoW.
No, sometimes I'm just logged in.
Oh,
doing things.
Cute.
Yeah.
Cute, yeah.
And while I'm working.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, see, this is what I'm saying. Like, I'm playing a lot of games that you just play through and you beat. I mean, Octodad was only, like, 2.5 hours, so it was pretty short. I thought it was going to be longer. I was a little disappointed.
How much was it?
On sale, $11.99, but retail, $15, which I think is a little on the high end. I can't recommend it for that much.
Everybody listening, I need you to know, when you're watching Bobby talk about the sale that he got on a particular game, there's an air of confidence and maybe
like disdain for the common man.
Disdain for he who pays full price. Yeah. He goes, oh, on sale?
Because I buy everything on sale, but I don't know how long it's going to be on sale.
Now, retail.
Yeah.
And he almost like shot a fart in my direction. Like, that's how much disdain he has for full price.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think the difficulty level on this was okay. It was just challenging enough.
Which is tough to pull off.
And the story was great, dude. Like, the story
just got
better. 2 hours,
though? That's...
Did you laugh out loud at any point?
I don't laugh out loud a lot.
Do you giggle
like a
schoolgirl?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, a little mental chuckle here and there.
Okay.
But no, it is funny. And the ending is funny, too. I got a screenshot on my Steam profile of the ending. And
of course you do.
Yeah, of course. But I don't want to spoil anything. But yeah, it's funny. Like, it is a hilarious game. Whenever they do this family sharing thing for Steam, when you can play other people's games, then you guys can like play my copy of it. But I couldn't recommend you guys purchasing it for $15.
So sometimes something happens in gaming that is so fucking cool that it transcends the genre that it's in. you know, you heard, maybe you'll hear like a certain MMO has shut down, shut their servers, and the people get together. Like when Star Wars Galaxy shut down, like that was a thing. I heard about it and it sounded kind of cool where everybody got together. I think, you know, the hardcore players got together and said goodbye and shit like that. You know, sometimes things like that happen. This is one of those where EVE had the biggest war they've ever had in the history of EVE. EVE's been around for, I'm going to just throw this out here, there. I don't know. I think it's 12 years or something like that.
It's a long time.
Longer than WoW, right?
Probably, yeah, longer than WoW. And, you know, they keep upgrading and stuff, but the core engine hasn't upgraded for 12 years. Whoever put that together, I mean, they're doing a great job over there. And the people that play are fucking hardcore. Like, back, the last news I heard about EVE is when somebody sent somebody to somebody's house to cut the power at their house so that their armies wouldn't be, you know, the leader of the other team. Like, he cut the cables, dude. I don't know if it was in Iceland or whatever it was. Anyway, these people are fucking invested, right? So it's all these rival corporations. Think Star Trek, but instead of different races, it's different corporations. They're all humans. And there's a Cold War going on at all times where if we attack here, we're going to be weak here. So people just stockpile. Cold War, exactly. We have way more missiles than to blow up the world than you need, you know? But both sides are doing it, so there's motivation on both ends. So some guy forgot to pay his bill.
I heard he didn't forget. I heard there was some shenanigans going on, but go ahead.
Oh, I didn't even hear about this. Yeah. Okay, so the story I heard was somebody forgot to pay his bill, and his space station that he was in charge of, which is a very vital section in the middle of this Cold War, went down. I might be slaughtering this story, but this is the way I read it. And so everybody rushes in. And then since some people rushed in, they're weak in other places, and all hell broke loose. So yeah. The biggest ship that you can have in this, if you were to start playing today and you wanted to buy one of these Titans, they're called, it's $3,000. That's how much, you know, how many resources and time goes into. That's the price tag. 70 of these things were exploded. But when I read this, probably a week ago, 70 of them. There's over $200,000 in damages going on. And one of the players on Reddit, he went on Reddit and he put 4K pictures up of what's going on. It looks beautiful. It looks like works of art. There's lasers going off and there's giant ships and it's fucking awesome. When I read shit like this, like this is something, this is a story I could tell a non-game player. And as soon as I bring up the $200,000 price tag, they're like, what? Like, what do you mean, real money? Yeah, I mean real money, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking awesome, man.
So, like, EVE is one of those games that, like, is cool from a PC gamer perspective. Like what's going on and how it works and everything that it is involved with. I've just have never gotten into it. But, like, I think from a PC gamer's perspective, it's good that games like that exist. Because
oh, for sure, absolutely.
Because it is pushing the genre, it's pushing the whole PC gaming, and it's pushing the idea that games can exist as both in a virtual space, but also in a real space, because there is an equivalence between the virtual money that they have in there and the real money that comes out of it. Yeah, like, absolutely. You can tell people that have never played video games, $200,000 was spent. $200,000 was lost, and people right. like your mom or my mom
would understand
$200,000. Yeah, yeah. That's a lot.
It's
of
the
money.
Crossover.
Exactly. So, like, I think EVE is a good the idea behind it is good, where you can push that boundary between what is real and what is virtual versus what is in the real world. They're kind of crossing over, which I really
reminds
like,
me man. Of like. 10 years ago, the first time that I heard about gold farmers in WoW or whatever the fuck,
yeah.
or EverQuest or whatever, and you tell people, yeah, there's thousands of Chinese people in a factory somewhere farming gold to sell it to Americans in this game, and they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then finally, you can talk to somebody that isn't a gamer about games, and that's what I always try to do. It doesn't always work, and that's why I have a PC gaming podcast.
Yeah.
Is EVE a game that does not change like WoW does? Like, you're always hearing about new patches coming out, the new expansion packs coming out in WoW where they raised the level cap. And I always felt like when they did that, it's like, great, now I gotta like level up again and get all new gear and like run the new dungeons and just do all this extra work when I was already established. Is EVE a game where you can kind of establish yourself more?
It is conjecture from what I've heard, like, because I haven't really looked into it. But as far as the updates go, I think they're mostly just graphical and stuff like that. It is like the players are creating the story.
It's like Second Life or whatever, where like they just set up the canvas and then the players just create the art with it.
And they do shit like this. Like when I was reading who was fighting, and it was like 12 factions, so you know, it was all garble to me.
Do they only have one server then? Because like you talked about WoW and they talk about which server you're on.
Yeah. So I read all these names, or half of them, and one stuck out, Goon Squad, because I had read an article about them before, and they're fucking crazy. They're like, they're upsetting the norm. They're fighting outside. So what they did was they made all these capital ships, where I don't think they're as big as Titans or whatever, but they made a bunch of them, didn't put any people in them, and just launched empty ships at this planet and ruined it. And fucked up the whole economy of the whole game, because this planet was really important. And they just shot empty ships and used them as weapons. They spent months building these things and just shot empty ships and ruined the entire area. And it fucked up the entire economy. And I was like, it's fucking awesome. You know, things like this, it's like, it almost makes you think of this is what's going to happen in real space when we get out there, you know, stuff like this.
But it's crazy to me that, like, that the game is robust enough that they could do something like that. Yeah. Like, there's ways to game the system, but at the end of the day, they're not gaming it. They're just playing within the space that's been provided.
And here we go with the whole sandbox thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, I can't comment too much on EVE Online because I have never played it. I know very little about that game. It seems like the kind of game that I would just have to spend a month just to realize what I'm supposed to do. When in the meantime, I could beat Octodad in 2.5 hours. But have you guys seen these screenshots supposedly leaked of the Source 2 engine?
I have not seen them. I want to see them.
It's
supposed to about them.
Yeah, look it up. It's supposedly a PowerPoint presentation of Left 4 Dead 2 redone with the Source 2 engine. It looks pretty good. It looks almost like a photograph. And, you know, anytime you see this stuff, it always looks better than it really is, I feel. But I don't know. If it's anywhere close, it's probably worth getting excited over.
Are they going to redo old games? Could we go back and be playing Counter-Strike or these other games?
So what I keep talking about, TF2, is there a need to upgrade TF? Does it need to be prettier? I guess it could be.
That's like WoW with their
cartoony graphics.
They're like upgrade to their like graphics that's going to happen next time, and I'm like, okay. But
oh, they're doing them again?
Yeah, they're going to do it for the next expansion, but it's like,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. TF2 is the same way. Like the graphics are that way for a point. Like
accessibility.
It's part of art. Like,
yeah,
games are a part of art, and that is the art style that they went with. They don't need to go with the hyper-realistic, like DayZ or whatever.
Right.
Like, DayZ was hyper-realistic.
Man, it looked great.
Yeah, it did. But it didn't help. It didn't help gameplay.
No. I mean, while you're dying and I forgot to bring this up last episode. We forgot to name Chad's day of gaming. I said that Chad's journal, if you were to read it, it would be entitled Rotten Fruit and Broken Guns.
For about four hours,
Chad would find was rotten fruit, which you get sick of, and you get dysentery and throw up.
There's no point to having rotten
every
fruit.
Gun he ever had was broken.
That's why I had the axe, because every gun I had was broken.
Even when we were accomplished, the best thing he had was an axe.
Bobby's shooting you with fucking rifle shots, and asshole. I had a fire axe, because that's all I had. I could have hatchet you, but that was about it.
Why all the hate, man?
Please. I don't know.
Where were we?
Oh, Daisy, I remember that game.
Good old times.
But I don't know. Graphics are a great part of a game. I'm interested to see what games will use this, because I kind of feel like Valve has been holding on to this Source 2 engine for like Half-Life 3 or maybe some other new game that they're going to release. Like, it's going to come out with that. So maybe we could finally start seeing.
I think that's a sure thing, right? I mean, I'll be, you know, Half-Life 3 is in the ether now. I mean, or the zeitgeist. You hear it, like, there's whispers of it here, there's whispers of it there. Obviously, it's coming out. It's going to coincide with Source 2. I mean, but they're Valve. They do things right.
I'll be honest. I think the Half-Life story is terrible.
No, I don't like the story either.
Like, Half-Life itself was a great game for its gameplay value, but
it's like playing X-Files.
Yeah.
It's like a big mystery. You don't really know. You're inside of it. You're a major player, but you don't really know what's going on. It's very vague.
So I'm not looking that forward to Half-Life 3. No, I didn't like Half-Life 2 that much.
No, here.
Well, maybe that's not even what's going on.
Get off my podcast. Get off my podcast.
I'm serious. Like Half-Life 1 was great for its gameplay value, but Half-Life 2 didn't push the envelope like I wanted.
I don't know. I'd rather see a Left 4 Dead 3.
Now, I want everybody to get that. That's how disgusted I am with that.
I'm sorry.
I never put my mouth near something so phallic in my whole life.
Except last night. Right.
Hey-o! From downtown. All
right. So Source 2. It's coming out.
So Source 2 engine coming out. You know what did come out?
But they haven't announced
it. Here's the exciting part. Remember how Source came out? Boom! 1,000 games. Because it was so open source, people, developers, small developers could make, this list goes on and on of all these little games that came out. I mean, there was racing games that came out for, you know, using the Source engine. It's so accessible. And so now, if you can do the same thing with better graphics, and it's probably going to be even easier for indie developers to make things for it. It is a fantastic, just like all things. If Valve had a cock, I swear to God. No, I'd be all over that thing. But yeah, I mean, they do everything right, and they enable indie developers. Like, I've never understood the guy who did Minecraft. What's his name? Anybody?
Notch.
Notch,
yeah.
I've never understood why he didn't want to put it on Steam, because he says that Steam is kind of like the monopoly, and I'm pretty sure he said it doesn't help indie developers.
I don't think he put it on Steam.
No, he didn't. But it would have helped. I mean, it would have, you know, some more downloads.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I never played indie games until Steam. Ever.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two, you know? Now you got Greenlight Project, and you have, when something's new, it goes to the top regardless of, you know, development time and stuff. I love it all. I love it all.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, so who knows when that's going to come out, but you know what did come out finally is the AMD Mantle. None of us have ATI cards, or we all have NVIDIA, right?
We all have NVIDIA, and somebody has an NVIDIA sweater sitting there.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a little bit
You're wearing the brand.
It has some bling going on.
Yeah, it does.
Wearing the brand. You know what, dude? I love wearing, like, shirts or hoodies or something like this, you know, a little something to put that out there, because you would be surprised how many people approach me.
But I think it takes a little too far.
And let me guess.
He bedazzled.
Zero of them are hot chicks.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
Okay.
They're lining up outside. What are you talking about? No. Okay. It's one thing to get an NVIDIA fucking sweatshirt. It's another thing to bedazzle it like he did.
It's true.
What are you talking about bedazzles, dude?
It does sparkle in the moonlight.
It does.
That's a thread.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah,
it's
great.
It's shiny thread. That's what I'm saying. Shiny thread.
So AMD Mantle, there hasn't been like a full review of it yet with benchmarks, but from what I've seen, it looks like there is an improvement, maybe not significant.
Would they say 8 times originally?
I can't remember what the original projection was.
Assholes.
It seems to be based off the processor, though. Like, if you have like a mid-range processor, you're going to see more gains from this than if you already have like a really fast one. So I've seen benchmarks around like increases of like 20 frames per second in Battlefield 4. Battlefield 4 is the only game you can use it with, but damn, it probably needs it, because that game doesn't run.
And they're having another patch. I read about that. they're doing another, you know, server networks, and they're working on their networks. Apparently, that's the big problem with.
Yeah, everyone complains about the net code. That's been a huge problem. The biggest problem with it is that if you're in a game and you're playing it, you know, you're building up points in this game that you can then use to unlock guns and other stuff. But if you're playing this game, building up these points, and then it crashes, you don't get any of the points. You could play on a server for like almost an hour, depending on how, you know, how the server's set up, whether it has short matches or long matches. Some of them have like a ticket count of like 1,000, so you can be on there for quite a bit of time, but if it crashes, you lose everything. So yeah, it would be nice to see a little bit more net code.
So did you guys see the price on ESO? It's coming out soon.
No.
Either one of you? You guys ready for this?
All right, go ahead.
Worst case possibility, pretty much.
$60.
$60, you get 1 month free, and then $14.99 after that. Okay. So you're talking about... Okay, so I was trying to like put this into perspective. So when you play a AAA title, we're going to say a, you know, whatever, a Battlefield 4 or whatever, or more a Bioshock, $60 comes out. You pay it for about 2 weeks. A week to 2 weeks, probably, right? It's for, you know, we're not talking game time, how long it takes and how much enjoyment you get out of it, right? So I'm thinking, I'm trying to justify this. So you get ESO. Yes, well, 30 days of free play. So you get a month of play for $60. Is that worth it? It's up to you whether or not you pay that second month. Is the $60 worth the 30 days? What do you think, Chad? You played it more than Bob. Bobby, you didn't even play it, right?
No, okay. I haven't played it.
I mean, they're following the WoW format where it's if you buy the expansion, it's a normal price game.
Yeah, but you're talking about $15 for an expansion on WoW. You're talking $60 here.
But that's how WoW works also.
Originally.
You buy the expansion that's full price, and then you pay the monthly fee.
No, but full price. How much is full price?
I think it's the same thing.
$60 for an expansion on WoW?
I think so.
Thank God, it's usually like $40. I think I've only paid like $40.
I thought it was $30 or $15 or something.
No, I think it's...
Thank God I got out.
You're coming back in.
I'm 90% sure the expansions are about $40 on WoW.
But, I mean, so...
Could be wrong, though.
They are.
How do you not know? You're the only player here.
But
you're a WoW, resident WoW expert.
I haven't bought an expansion.
You bought
in
2 years. One.
2 years.
How much was it?
I have no clue. $40, maybe $60.
If there's one thing we're here, this was a lot of PC gaming podcast. It's about research.
Yeah, that's true.
We never question anything. We have the hard facts.
I guess what they're going for is the Skyrim players are going to pay $60.
I'll take a shot.
Okay, Skyrim. Yeah. Now the question is, can they sustain that? And that is the real question.
God, man. When I saw this, there was a palpable like drop in my like emotion, because I was like, oh, it's not going to work. Like, they're not going to be successful. Because if you have to do the Star Wars thing, Star Wars is 50 times, a million times bigger of a franchise than Elder Scrolls, and it couldn't sustain that, you know.
But
format.
But those games made money. That's at the end of the.
I'm not 100% sure it did. I think they lost money.
You don't think that
even today? At this point, I don't think that they've made up.
So Skyrim obviously made money.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So if they can get people to pay the same $60,
greatest game of all time.
Okay. Yes. If they can get people to pay $60 for that game,
I have a box that I cut a hole in. Never mind. Go ahead.
If they can get $60 for ESO,
yeah,
even without the monthly subscription, the question is how much did they spend to make that game?
Because we were talking about the voice acting last
exactly.
Week. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by this move at all. I think they're going to do this, and then I think they're going to see what the results are, and then they're probably going to rethink their strategy if necessary, exactly like Star Wars did. Why wouldn't you do this from the get-go? You know, you're going to make the most money at the beginning. You're going to have people who are going to pay this.
I don't agree. EverQuest Next is coming out free-to-play off the bat. That's the way to go these days.
But they are missing money because the leading edge of players will always pay the most money. You could charge
early adopters.
Yeah, you could charge $200 for a game, and a certain percentage of players will pay that.
Sure.
And then you ratchet back the money, and that's where you find the happy medium or whatever.
I think that's old logic, as far as like now that you got people you can't really pirate ESO, I guess. Some people will, I guess you could.
Can you pirate an MMO at this point?
There's got to be a way. There's got to be so difficult that you might as well just pay for it.
But some people, are going to hack it. And that's the way you get around, hacking and word of mouth. If something's free, everyone's going to jump on board. Anybody that has a PC that has ever played an MMO is going to download EverQuest because it's free. Not so much for ESO. There's a huge section of people that it's not even on the radar. They haven't even heard of it. But they're going to hear about EverQuest.
Yeah, but look at Dungeons & Dragons Online.
Right.
It's free to play right now.
Was it originally? I don't remember.
No, I played it. Okay. But it's free to play right now.
Okay.
Have you downloaded it?
I had it originally.
But
I think I paid for it.
But you don't give a shit because it's free to play.
Right.
It doesn't matter about the price. It matters about the quality.
If it's free to play, I'm going to download it and I'm going to try it.
All right, but you haven't downloaded
Dungeons. I had it originally. Online. I paid for it. That's the difference.
All I'm saying is
it's called a moot point.
All I'm saying
I'm going to defer to Bobby to carry us out of this.
All I'm saying is
here's the real question. Are any of you going to buy this for $60 and then play it for a month?
No. I was in the early beta, the mid beta. It's a very pretty game. No. I say no.
All right.
No. If you guys do... No. Well, shit, we're going to do a podcast. Okay, so we say things, but then also the podcast is now a factor. And I would have never played Dota, honestly.
I'm glad you did, though. Because you got some enjoyment out of it.
I did. Yeah. I did have some. Yeah, but it took a while. But I'm not complaining. It makes... I'm not playing Octodad and shit, but I'm branching out and trying new things. You're right, Bobby. You've said it twice now where a PC gamer will latch on. If there was no podcast, I would be playing Hearthstone. That's it, pretty much. But I like this. I like that I'm jumping around. And so for the podcast's sake, I'll probably pick up a ESO and play it for that month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably $60.
Me too.
We're a bunch of rich white dudes. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Except you're not rich or white. But
other than that. Well, $60, you get, you can always come back to it. So, I mean, if you look at it that way, it's not too bad.
Come back to $60?
No, if you pay $60.
You buy it once and then you can come back
whenever.
You
can cancel your subscription.
For $15, you can come back.
Yes, true.
Yeah.
$15 a month. But this is the type of game, it's like WoW. Yeah, sure, I paid $15 a month for WoW, but I played that game, so much that if you calculated, how many hours I played per dollar amount, it'd be ridiculous.
Yeah,
and way more than Broken Age.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, way more. I mean, factors of 10 here. Yeah. And people will always tell me, why do you pay $9.99 a month? This is a long time ago for EverQuest. And I was like, do you have any idea how much I play this? Price per enjoyment is off the chain. Now, as far as, God, I hate to say it out loud, but as far as MMOs go, I feel like I'm done in a way. I want to play. I'm all about EverQuest. I feel like when I see an MMO coming down the pipe, I get super excited. And then again and again and again and again and again, I don't find my WoW and I don't find my EverQuest. Yeah. It's over and over and over.
No, it is constant disappointment being an MMO fan.
But here's the thing. And this is why I say maybe I'm done with MMOs is... Guild Wars was gorgeous. Gorgeous. Pretty well thought out. Not perfect. Pretty well thought out. Gorgeous. Nice, Personal story within an MMO, which is hard to do. They did that. You know, why am I not playing Guild Wars? Is my friends weren't on? And that's another thing that comes up with the podcast. When we play, when we all dive into ESO, we're going to have fun because we're all playing together.
Mm-hmm. True.
So you have to, you know, we're going to have to take that into consideration when we're talking about, you know, learning curve and all that. But we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, Bobby with his fart jokes.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah, I'm not too thrilled about ESO, but...
we committed.
Yeah, we already said we
are. Are you in or not?
Yes.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Hey!
He's never turned down a game.
I buy everything anyway. Yeah.
So. He only turns down ideas.
Yeah, he turns down ideas, not games. Yeah.
So true. So true.
But looking ahead this next week, what do you guys think you're going to be playing? What's on the menu besides Dota 2?
I'm going to switch it up and probably play a little bit of WoW.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah, so... So there's a game called Serena.
Have you? Oh, guys? Yeah, it was the free. It was the free. Game.
So apparently it's free. It's on Steam. It was created wholly by a group of players that wanted to just play that are fans of point and click.
Hmm.
So I downloaded it. I'm gonna play it this week. It's supposed to be a little horror-esque, a little point and click. So,
you didn't put the second R in there, and it really sounded like you said whore quest.
It's a little whore quest.
Sounds like me and Acid Dad.
So, yeah, I'm going to play that. There's also another free-to-play called Loaded.
Loadout. Got my eyes on that one, too.
So I'm going to play that this week also, see what that one's about.
Oh, is it on sale, Bobby?
No, it's free-to-play. It's free-to-play.
And it looks cool. Like, I like the look. It's got that really...
cartoony, right?
Yeah, cartoony.
Yeah, I clicked on it as well.
But the whole customization thing, like, the whole thing is, like, you build your gun and you can modify it, like, a million different ways. And it seems
over
like...
Over a billion it advertises.
Yeah, yeah, over a billion it advertises.
It's like, what was it? Borderlands 2. Advertise, what, over a trillion guns or something like that?
Yeah, but there's a point where when you have so many options, it all becomes meaningless. So I'm afraid of that.
Mr. Shutdown, everybody. Yeah, Mr. Shutdown.
It's a real thing. The paradox of choice, man. It's true. If you're inundated with too many options, you're just kind of like...
Yeah, you don't get a choice if you get too many choices, right? Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of other games have made this mistake, too. It's like I got 50 guns here. This one has 0.1% more damage and... Minus 0.1%.
I felt that in Super Monday Night Combat. Like, it was like 1% here, 2% this. It was like, who cares? Well, semantics, really, at that point.
You can get those. Well, in Super Monday Night Combat, you're supposed to stack those. So eventually you get to the point where you have like plus 15% in this area and minus 15% in another area.
Right. But when you're doing the 0.5s, it just seemed minute. And why am I doing this?
Yeah.
So we're going to play that this week. Loadout?
Loadout? Yeah. I definitely want to check that one out.
And you're a point-and-click guy anyway, so you're probably going to play the Serena game anyway.
I know what it is. A lot of point-and-click, though. I might need to switch it up with something a little different.
I don't know what it is, but I really want to get into fucking Dota. Like, I didn't have a great time with it, but I want to see why 7.1 million people
are playing. there was times that you said you were having fun.
Yeah, when I was getting kills. Which is fun.
Which was rare for you.
Yeah.
Just
I think my best score was, it was 7-7 at some point, and then I went to 7-9 because the group fights, I found my guys, Lena. She's focused hard.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know the defenses for Be Focused at this point.
And equipping the items is a whole nother realm that...
Yeah.
That we didn't figure out.
Now, Smite has, like, it'll auto-buy for new players.
Yeah.
And who knows if it's good or not, but at least it's one thing you don't have to worry about while you're learning in the game, right? Yeah. Give me some auto-buy.
Yeah, some training wheels.
And, like, how does 7.1 million people know which items that they're like, that boggles my mind. Like,
guys, you keep throwing the 7.1 million out here, and I don't want to play the race card, but there's a lot of people in China and Korea, okay?
Okay.
And I think they constitute...
Whoa! Holy shit!
He just went there.
But they're not people? Is that what he implying? That they're not people?
They're less than a person. Maybe they're short. Maybe they're short or something.
They're three They're one third of a person. That's so three of them equals one. So maybe around 4 million.
Four million total. Okay.
No, you guys were just like
4 million Americans. The culmination is 4 million.
Four million Americans. Yes. Play this game.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Wow. And every Mexican takes 1 point off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This fucking guy.
Wow.
Although, to spread the racism, as soon as the guy said, a lot of Brazil, just said, God, we got a fucking Brazilian on our team. So
that's my Han roots coming out.
No, we understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, and I think there's also a lot of Russian players that play play Dota 2 as well.
Dota, yeah.
Anybody else you want to offend right now?
No, I'm just saying.
You want to talk about the French right now, or what's going on?
High population areas. You guys are wondering, like 7.1 what is it, million or billion?
Trillion
people playing?
The entire universe and all the stars are playing.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm like, you know, well, obviously, man, there's a ton of people out there that are playing these games.
So, like, the introduction to the game was nice. I liked the introduction of the game where it showed you how to play the game.
I didn't learn a lot. But because exactly. I knew all that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew all that
If you're a MOBA player coming into it, you didn't learn anything specifically about Dota.
And I've heard this
over
and over about Dota. That is the highest learning curve of all the MOBAs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to get you guys to play League of Legends or something.
We should have started with that.
Get you into a...
But anyway, next week, tune in, because we'll be experts.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to end the podcast yet, because... if you don't want to learn about Bitcoin, tune out now. I'm sorry. I have to talk about it.
I'm curious.
I just found out how it works. No. Okay. I've listened to two podcasts now, and now I understand how it works. So, okay. And it's kind of because we're going to probably be paying for our games in Bitcoin or something at some point. Sorry to fucking steal this podcast, guys, but it's really interesting to me at this point. So, okay, so Bitcoin is a algorithm that a Japanese named guy that nobody's ever seen, nobody knows his name, nobody's seen a picture of him, nobody knows that he really exists, but I forget his name, but he created this algorithm. And it's not the first electronic currency. It's a currency, but it's the first one that works. And here's why. The Bitcoins cannot be duplicated, nor can they be spent without being tracked. So if you have a Bitcoin, you can't spend it without everybody, the whole Bitcoin network knowing. Okay, so this is my best analogy to try to explain this. Let's say us three sitting here came up with a currency, right? Every 10 minutes, we have to write down why or what happened to all our Bitcoins. Okay. And the first person to write it down all correctly gets extra Bitcoins between us three, right?
Okay.
But now as we're spending our Bitcoins, there's more and more to track. Because the guy that I gave Bitcoins have spent those Bitcoins. And that guy spent it to somebody else. So the equation is growing and growing and growing. The computing power that's needed to find out what's going on with all these Bitcoins has grown to such an extent that if you took all the 600 supercomputers that are on Earth, it wouldn't come close to how much computing power is being spent on Bitcoin. More computing power is going into Bitcoin than porn. A lot more.
Wow, that's a lot.
A lot more, right? So just to put it in perspective, so it takes about 10 minutes to figure out. Okay, imagine there's a ledger. And okay, so I gave one Bitcoin to Bobby, and Chad gave one to Bobby, right? But it's getting exponentially more complicated because so many transactions are happening. Now, why are Bitcoins worth money? Because they cannot be duplicated, and there's a certain amount of them. There's only... Okay, so every 2 years, they cut how much is rewarded by half until they're going to hit a point. I think it's like 8 years from now, no more Bitcoins. That's it. It's run its course, right? So it's a rare commodity. It doesn't have any value itself, right? But since it can't be duplicated and the Federal Reserve can't, at its will, that's what we have in the United States, you German people listening, the Federal Reserve just prints money whenever they need it, right? And which brings the value of the dollar down,
yeah.
So we can pay our debts. But we have a debt and confidence base. The dollar is not based on anything. It's based on confidence and debt, basically.
It used to be worth gold.
It used to be a gold standard. Now, when you're going into Bitcoin, it's worth whatever somebody will give it to you. Right now, it's about $900 for one Bitcoin. But it can be divided up into a millionth of itself. So right now, what people trade in is thousand bits, I think they're called, or millibits is what they're called, which breaks down to about $1. And you can spend those willy-nilly. Just like, and more things. You can buy a hooker in Britain. There's an escort agency that takes Bitcoin now. Just 2 days ago, an American restaurant started accepting Bitcoin. Like, it's coming, and who knows what the ramifications are. But this is a currency untouched by government. Because it is controlled by no one and everyone. There is no central, okay, I'm going to go confiscate that computer because that's where all the Bitcoins are controlled. No, it's the Bitcoin network that's all doing the computations, owns all of it. It's not in one place. Like the internet, you can't shut down the internet. It's everywhere. So all the people that are contributing are Bitcoin. So you can't arrest them all. There's millions of people and they all believe that this is worth money. The guy that explained this to me is paid in Bitcoins every week. He transfers his Bitcoins into cash to pay his rent. But most things, he finds companies that accept Bitcoin and go into them. So this is a huge thing. It's a huge thing. He says that this is taking currency back to when it was clams and feathers because it's not affected by government. You can't be taxed.
So is it like every science fiction movie in the world ever where it's just credits? Is Bitcoins going to be credits in the future?
The way this guy says it, he has a really gay name. It's like Sasha or something. But he's really well-spoken. It was on the Joe Rogan podcast, like maybe the one before this last one. I forget the number. But he was saying that it's going to coincide with the U.S. dollar. The U.S. government already said that it's not illegal. So it's not illegal to trade in these. Some people have been arrested because it's not trackable. You can buy all the drugs you want with Bitcoins. Guess what? Can't be traced back to you. So a lot of people are money laundering. And he said, guess what? The number one currency used for illegal activity is the U.S. dollar. So to say that the Bitcoin is being used illegally, it's a moot point, really. I'm excited about it. If I had two nickels to rub together, I'd buy a bunch of them. I really think it's going up. The less that there are, the more the money's going up. I really hate to... did you guys understand it now?
A little bit.
This is the first time that it
makes sense. I'd like to look into it more.
Yeah. Sorry to hijack the podcast, but man, it really made a lot of sense to me this time.
I think...
So the person that's rewarded the Bitcoins every 10 minutes is about what it takes to write. Remember, you're rewarded Bitcoins for figuring out all the transactions that's happened with all the Bitcoins. So it takes a lot of... And people have warehouses full of server racks trying to mine. It's called mining. Mining Bitcoins. And so... There's no, like we said, there's no central bank that's taking care of this. So who's covering, how do we know what happened to all the Bitcoins? Well, everybody that's in the network is working very hard with the computing power to figure out, keep track of every division and where they're all going so they can't be duplicated. They each have their number and everything like that. So it's fucking really cool. Really fucking cool.
We're like in
to this dumb Mexican anyway.
We're like in Blade Runner territory in that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Future's coming.
Future's coming.
Get ready. All right.
Are we going to shut down on this low note?
No, that's, I mean, now I want
to invest titties! In titties. Hey, let's bring it up.
I want to invest in Bitcoins now.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious.
Yeah.
That's a wrong cool. time, man. It should start at the beginning. And that's actually why you can't buy an AMD card now. It's because everyone's buying them to
make
mine. To mine Litecoins. And that's why, like, AMD cards are, like, hundreds of dollars over MSRP right now.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Crazy. All right.
So let's shut it up. Anybody?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Yeah,
so
I'm good.
This concludes our episode.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. You can get to us at dudes@dlgaming.net. Check out our website, dlgaming.net, Steam Group, DL Gaming. If you want to play some Dota, hit us up. Maybe even a little bit of Rust. I don't know. Or Monaco, still putting that out there. Somebody? Anybody? No? All right.
Thanks for listening, guys. I'll talk to you later. Titties!